Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to our sanctuary, a sanctuary for skeptics and doubters, a place where people can ask any question and still be treated with respect. Questions like this. Bob, if the Bible is really the Word of God, how come so many different churches and theological systems interpret it differently? Well, my friend, you have certainly brought up a genuine problem, but not a problem with the Bible. Let's be blunt. Let's be clear. Christians tend to follow the teachings of their pastors, sometimes because of his charisma, sometimes because of his credentials. But if we were to stop and think for a moment, they would realize that pastors with differing views have the same seminary degree and the same license, ordination, honor, merely from different institutions or different denominations. Great orators, in their own right, also teach contradictory views. It happens all the time. So obviously, one should look beneath strong personality and look beneath impressive resume. Oftentimes in church history, an individual gets fascinated with one idea and then proceeds to examine the rest of Scripture through the lens of the same intriguing view. John Calvin, for instance, was fascinated with the sovereignty of God. Eventually, he came to the conclusion that if God is in control of everything, then human beings must not have any free will. This, in the opinion of Calvin, made people incapable of giving their lives to Jesus without God first changing their hearts. On the other hand, theologian Jacob Arminius was very attuned to man's free will. This led to the belief that a Christian could lose his or her salvation because Christians will always have free choice, even after they become children of God. What happens next? Well, these passionate men find followers, and groupies have been around since the beginning of time, going along with the pack blindly. As a general rule, human beings think, feel, and act in extremes. Often the popularity of one movement inspires an extreme reaction to the extreme, thus creating a newer movement. Here's a general rule. When you find theology on opposite sides of the pole, the Bible, if read correctly and honestly, is usually right in the middle someplace. Arminians, for example, are correct when they teach that man has a free will. They are incorrect when they teach that we can lose our salvation, because when people give their lives to Jesus, they are giving God permission to become their father and raise them. They're signing the dotted line. Parents keep children in line, even though children have free will. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, the Apostle Paul talking, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. The day of Christ Jesus is the day you die or the day Jesus returns, whichever comes first. Moving on to Calvinists, Calvinists are correct when they teach that humans, left to their own devices, would never seek God, and that apart from the influence of God's Spirit, our hearts are incapable of responding. John chapter 6, Jesus talking, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. However, Calvinists are incorrect when they assume this grace of the Holy Spirit is irresistible. Oh, it's not irresistible. It's very resistible, my friends. Not only can the Holy Spirit be rejected, his rejection is actually given a name in Matthew chapter 12. It's called the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Of course, Calvinists and Arminians are not the only ones at odds with each other. There are all kinds of other theologies. We're going to look at a few more. Dispensationalism and the charismatic movement. The charismatic movement makes a big deal out of certain gifts like healing and tongues, tongues being the most controversial of all of them. Tongues, we've talked about this before, the ability supernaturally to speak in a language that you never learned. Dispensationalists talk about God working differently in different ages. They're partly right. They're partly wrong. There is an old covenant. There is a new covenant. But boy, they really subdivide the ages after that. They draw a distinction between the apostolic age and the church age. And part of that is they teach that certain gifts have stopped since the completion of the Bible. Not all of them, but a lot of the supernatural ones. And they'll go out of their way to say that the gift of tongues is not being given out anymore. So that's this other tension, dispensationalists and charismatics. Charismatics are incorrect when they teach that God wants everybody to speak in tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talking, do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? This was Paul's rhetorical question, the obvious answer being no. However, and it's a significant however, dispensationalists are incorrect when they teach that tongues are a discontinued gift and that God no longer calls people to speak in tongues. In that same book of 1 Corinthians, moving on to chapter 14, Paul says quite clearly, do not forbid speaking in tongues. And by the way, the speaking of tongues, the interpretation of tongues, prophecy, that had nothing to do with the way the New Testament was written. The New Testament is a collection of gospels and historical accounts and letters written by the apostles. People were not sitting around when somebody spoke in tongues or gave a prophecy in church and recording it. So this idea that we don't need that anymore because we have the Bible, utter nonsense. On the other hand, because I'm the kind of guy that will always give credit where credit is due, dispensationalists are correct when they teach that God is still working with the Jews and that Israel as a nation will be delivered someday in fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And here, the dispensationalists are in tension with a different theology, this one called covenant theology or replacement theology, which teaches that God is done working with the nation of Israel, that the church is the new Israel. But the dispensationalists are correct on this one. Romans chapter 11, Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in, and so all Israel will be saved. And back to covenant theology, they are false when they assert that all promises given to Israel are now void and belong to the church instead. However, the covenant theologians are partly right, inasmuch as the promises to Israel are offered to Gentiles who give their lives to Jesus, and in addition to physical Israel, the church does serve as a spiritual Israel. Paul, in Romans chapter 2, verse 29, no, a man is a Jew if he is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Actually, my friends, together, physical Israel and spiritual Israel make up one Israel, the teaching of Romans chapter 11. Obviously, I'm just whetting your appetite today. I have done many detailed podcasts on all of these subjects, and I will do more. But for now, I only want to leave you with one point. The more we read the Bible, the less dependent we are on the opinions of men. This ought not cause disrespect for teachers, but rather a greater respect for the balance and wisdom of the Word of God. In any event, even if people retain varying views on the theologies we mentioned today, our unity in Christ's forgiveness on the cross and His salvation is what's important. Other matters, although interesting, are of lesser value. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said to the church, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." This is Bob Siegel, with a little help from the Apostle Paul, making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.